And welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Wednesday morning. We certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to join us. Hope you'll stay with us for the full 45 minutes of our broadcast today. If you've been tuning in at all this week, you know that our theme is Ancient Words for a Modern World. And today, our word of the day is submission.
Ooh.
And yeah, that could raise some eyebrows for sure. And I guess the question that we want to ask after posing the word of the day for you is submission for today? Is that something that we should be considering, looking at? We'll discuss it today on this edition of the Grace Hour. Again, of course, from a biblical perspective. So stay tuned and weigh in, of course, if you'd like to. Share your thoughts with us on today's theme of submission. And if you have questions, write those questions to us on the chat as well. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Barry Quirk will be your hosts. And Pastor Barry, I'm going to start the broadcast by saying, go ahead, I submit to you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Glad to be with you here today, Pastor Love. And, you know, submission is one of those terms that's just a hot button word. You know, it can be divisive. And I think obviously the reason that it becomes a hot button divisive word is that there's a misunderstanding of what submission actually is. And so I'm glad that we're diving into it a little bit. And I would say right from the onset that maybe we could discuss what the Bible has to say about it. The Greek word hypotasso, which is often translated as submit, means to place oneself under voluntarily and not through coercion. So there is submission right from the get-go is not something that we are to be coerced into doing or to be guilted into doing, or manipulated into doing, but it's something that we place ourselves under voluntarily. And part of that is because we believe in humility, we believe in love, we believe in trusting God's design, and that there's a strength in it, and that we don't need to be coerced because we have, we have an acceptance of God's will, and not that we're being forced by some inferiority to be put into a place where we are, subjugated by somebody else's will.
Good thoughts to get us started today, Pastor Barry. I want to read something that a Lutheran reformer said. And I'll quote him. He said, "We neither obey the law nor can we obey it before we have been reconciled to God, justified, then born again. Left to his own devices, sinful men will always be lawless. Mm. This disregard for God's law explains his need for a Savior." Then he goes on to say that only the Savior can transform disobedient, lawless creatures into obedient, submissive citizens of heaven and earth. Mm. I thought that was a great quote because it just makes so much sense. I mean, the whole idea of submission, naturally speaking, let's look at it from the perspective of an unbeliever. Well, nobody wants to submit to anything, to anybody.
Yeah,
we don't like submitting to laws. We don't like submitting to other people. We don't like, there were people I'm sure listening today who said, I don't like to submit in the marriage relationship. I just don't like submission.
Right.
Well, when we're born of God, we recognize the value of submission. Mm. In fact, the scriptures actually go so far as to say that we should submit to each other.
That's right.
It's amazing.
It is. Yeah, actually, there are examples in the Bible of submission, and probably the biggest ones are, as you said, to God. You know, like Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of our hearts." Right. "Lean not unto our own understanding. Acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our paths." Now, we could say that's an unfair proposition. I want to determine where I want to go. But also, in the full counsel of God, we understand that we are really very capable of making poor decisions. We're very capable of misreading situations. We have a limited viewpoint on what the whole picture is. So we don't see what God's mind in a situation is. And I think it's vitally important that we understand that in the bigger picture, God is the one who's authoring the whole pathway, and that we can trust him because we know what God's character is. And when we submit ourselves to him, we're really saying, God, I trust that you have something really amazing for me as you have promised. You know, this is the thing, is that God's relationship with us, when he does ask us to submit to his will, is so that he can bless and protect and promote, not so that he can keep us in some kind of bondage or, you know, kept in a room away from him. It's actually to draw us near to him, that we could have a fellowship and a relationship.
Yeah, that's so true. I know that, you know, Christians struggle with and can struggle with submitting to authority, including teachers and bosses and mm-hmm. government officials. And that kind of reflects our attitude sometimes towards God's laws and his kingdom. However, when someone's born again, when this regeneration of the Holy Spirit takes place, then now the Christian possesses a new mind,
yes,
a new way of thinking. Their conscience has been changed, which now guides them to obedience. And when they don't obey, the Holy Spirit kind of pricks the conscience and prompts them to change their mind. And, you know, that repentance kind of shows us what our real needs are in life.
Yeah.
We don't struggle with this. I remember conducting a ceremony many, many years ago. It was a family member, I believe on my wife's side, yes. And in the context of the vows, I had the audacity to use that word submit. And did I see some countenances drop in the audience when I said that? I actually had somebody come up to me and say, submission, after the ceremony, submission is for dogs.
Wow.
Because people don't understand what that means.
Absolutely.
I mean, the biblical idea behind submission is that there is a willingness to listen to others that may know more than we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we consider Ephesians 5, and when it speaks about husbands submitting, wives submitting to their husbands, which, as we know, as you just said, that is like anathema in many cases. Like, what, you want me to submit to a man? Like, why would I do that? What does he have over me? Why am I? But the whole picture, if you look at the scripture, is wives submit to your husbands. Husbands submit to God. Do as he did, which was lay down his life for the church. This is how we're to treat the wife in the situation, is with a laid down life. It's not one that's above and demanding and manipulating and waiting for someone to go make my sandwich. You know, it is, I would like to lay my life down for you. And the voluntary submission comes when we understand that there is a great love exchange that happens in that relationship. And it's more like, I'm placing my trust in the fact that you're going to follow God for our relationship, and you're going to do the hard things sometimes, and you're going to be accountable to God for these decisions, and I'm going to be with you in these decisions. It doesn't ever relate to inferiority.
No.
And I have this illustration that I like to tell from time to time, but there's these brooches that we saw on the beach in Indonesia when we were missionaries there years and years ago. And these ladies would have these jewelry boxes, and inside these boxes they had these beautifully spun, woven brooches. And they were made out of silver, and they were really beautiful, you know. And they would try to sell them to you. And they sold them fairly cheap at the time. I mean, I think they were maybe $20 or something. But you could see how in a jewelry shop in America they would be very valuable. They would be expensive. And so I like to ask the question, you know, how valuable is that brooch? Is it more valuable than a hammer? And some would say, of course it's more valuable than a hammer. Well, it depends. Are you trying to nail a nail in? Because if you're trying to nail a nail in, the hammer is more valuable, right? But if you're looking for something that's to be worn as an adornment and with beauty, and then obviously that is more important. And so the point is, can we have value on both sides of that equation? Can the man have value in the marriage? Can the woman have value in the marriage? Absolutely. They have And to say that the woman is the weaker vessel, oh my goodness, that's another hot button. Don't say that. The woman's the weaker vessel. Well, doesn't that mean physical frailty in a sense?
That's right.
And also, that brooch doesn't have the same composition as the hammer when it comes to the metal and its strength, but it has value in a specific arena that is far, the hammer can't do anything that the brooch can do, and the brooch can't do anything that the hammer can do, and you need both. And yeah. In a marriage, the weaker vessel doesn't mean the inferior vessel. It means physically composed, or, you know, even just the makeup, the composition of how a woman's emotions and the fact that God has designed for her to have a relationship that helps satisfy those things that are she was created with in a sense of emotional needs and things like this. This is God's way of expressing his love and providing something. And it doesn't take man off the hook, and it doesn't make him the big boss. Like God is way up here, and man and women are right here. And we just happen to be the ones who said, you have responsibility, but guess what? That responsibility is great accountability that comes with it.
Yeah. Well, thanks to all the attacks on this biblical idea of submission, even some Christians have come to think of submission as oppression.
Right.
Which is not at all what it means.
Totally different.
Yeah. And when the topic comes up, you know, the worldly point to Paul's passage in Ephesians, as you mentioned, says, wives, submit to your own husbands in Ephesians 5:22. And they cry foul. You know, that's not right. They brand that verse as sexist. Yes. And even rant about the passage as justification for some husbands to be mistreating or abusing their wives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, of course, has nothing to do with what the passage is teaching.
No. Yeah, actually, there are several things. You know, we could say what is submission, and then we could say what is not submission, right? And submission is not a tool that we use to bring somebody into a false bondage.
That's right.
Right? Submission, actually, it's gained through love and through investment and through the fact that we, you know, if we say, as a young child, and we're driving in the car, and my parents say, you know, hey, we're going to take you to this place, and we're going to have a special evening together, and you're going to enjoy it. And I go there, and that actually happens. The next time they say to me, hey, we're going to go to this place, and you're going to, I'm going to trust the fact that based on my previous experience, it's going to happen again. Right. And then also the character and natures. If my parents say, we would like to take you somewhere special and celebrate with you, that they're not going to take me to the doctor's office and get shots, right? Like the relationship is, we will be honest with you. And there may be times when we have to go to the doctor's office for shots, but we're not going to tell you something false. We're going to tell you what's what. But the trust that happens from the love that comes from God is unmistakable. So when he says, submit to me in this area, or do you have full understanding? Like how many times have I said, I got this great plan. And God goes, that's nice. Do you understand the full picture? Well, I mean, I know this will work. This will work. Well, do you have full picture? No, I don't. Okay, I do. Would you like the one that's going to benefit you, or do you want to follow your own ways and be frustrated at the end? Like if I really trust God's character, then I say, okay, God, not my will, but your will, just as he did to the Father.
Yes.
Not my will, but your will, God. You sent me. God the Father comes up with a plan. God the Son carries out the plan. God the Spirit reveals the plan. They all had different functions, but there was unity and oneness in the Trinity, but there was a love trust that happened with every single part of that.
Yeah. And of course, that goes back to the context that we're talking about in Ephesians chapter 5, where, of course, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. But before that, it says, husbands, love your wives.
Yes.
That kind of love produces this willingness to submit ourselves to others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just love this whole idea because I remember reading years ago a passage in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 16. It had to do with the relationship that Abram had with his wife Sarah. They could not conceive a child that, you know, they were told they were going to have.
Yeah.
He would be the father of many nations. So Sarah concocted this idea that the best thing that could be done is that Abram would take her handmaiden Hagar and go in unto her and have a child with her.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Abram very willingly submitted to that that whole idea. And the child, of course, was born. And then afterwards, Sarah despised not just the child, but Hagar herself, and then wanted her cast out.
Yeah.
And then she was cast out. And when that happened, you know, the Lord came to her, appeared to her, Genesis chapter 16, and asked her, "Where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from my mistress, Sarah." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." Mm. Now think about that. When I read that years ago, it was in the context of one man of God suggesting that this could be the answer to all of our difficulties and problems in life. Mm. Return and submit.
Yeah.
Now, that does not appeal to the natural man at all.
No, not least.
Because there is so many or so much justification that could be put forth that says, I should not have to submit. I shouldn't submit under these circumstances and difficulties. And I'm not suggesting that a woman stay in a marriage relationship when she's being abused and mistreated. That's not what we're talking about.
Completely different subject.
We're talking about the submission in the heart of the believer that is walking before God in the light of what God has revealed to their hearts and telling them, listen, you can fight, you can argue, you can complain, you can justify the reasons for you not submitting, but if you trust God and you have that attitude of submission in your life, great things can happen.
And you just said the magic words, that we trust God. Because how about if we're submitting to somebody who's not even completely correct in the situation, right? We have to trust that God will deal. If the person is truly in our relationships, we trust that that person hears from God, that they will stand before God and be corrected. So I'm still trusting God. I might not even like what I'm being asked to submit to in a way, but if I really trust God for the situation, then I have the grace to enter into that situation and say, okay, I'm going to place my trust in here. I might not have full confidence in the person, but I have full confidence in God. And that's what really the issue is, because God is faithful.
Yeah.
God will reveal it. And sometimes a bad situation gets used for a great deliverance or for great glory. And we have to trust the fact that God knows what he's doing in those situations. You know, I think about people who are in some of these countries where, you know, the communist countries. I remember at one point I was asked to do a Bible college class with a group of students that were in a very large, well-known communist country. And the portion of scripture was on submitting to those that are put in rule over you. And I'm thinking to myself, how do you speak to somebody who's in a communist country that means evil against God about submission? And yet there is a way forward. There's a way in that we honor to the degree that it's not in opposition to God, because that's what God has subjected us to and has asked us to be obedient to. But at the end of that is God. It's God, and God has a way of revealing which parts are going to be delivered, you know, how we're going to be delivered from that situation and where we're going to experience his life in the midst of that situation. And ultimately, in those very difficult, troubling situations, God can still be glorified in an amazing way.
Yeah. And boy, you know, if submission is a problem in your life and you don't like it, I mean, good luck with life.
Yes.
Because submission is happening all the time. In other words, if you're thinking about, you're a young man and you're thinking, or a young woman thinking about going into the military, you had better have a submissive attitude, or that might be the wrong career choice for you.
Yeah.
When you go to work, I mean, what are you submitting to? You're submitting to people that are over you, that have authority over you. They're not there to lord it over you or to trouble your soul. They're there to help you and to accomplish the tasks for which you have been hired for that particular place of employment. Yeah. You got to show up at a certain time in the morning and you finish the day at a certain time as well. This all has to do with submission. Imagine what our health would be like if the doctor told us, hey, listen, these are the tests that I've conducted. Here's my recommendation. I highly recommend that you get these medications, you begin to take them because it's going to, and you say, well, I'm not submitting to you. I don't, how can I be sure that you're not the boss of me, right? There could be some serious consequences as a result of not submitting to those that have this kind of authority in our lives.
Yeah, and I would say absolutely the whole the one force that stands behind this that makes me confident and comfortable in submitting to God is God, and that God is faithful and that he loves us. As one of our chatters, Elizabeth, said, it's a privilege to submit to God because we know that he loves us. He loves us. God loves us. And we can submit to God knowing that God loves us. Now, if we were not sure that God loved us or we thought that God hated us, we're not going to submit to him. But the character and nature of God makes it very clear. I set before you this day the issues of life and death, good and evil, but I'm going to give you a little hint. Choose life. Choose good, because it's going to lead you to life. So he, in his completely gentlemanly form, he doesn't make us choose one way in the book of Deuteronomy, but he tells us how to choose life and how to have fellowship with him. So, and even Pestalov, when we were talking about submitting to one another, earlier in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We submit to one another because we revere Christ. We submit to one another because God has order in situations. And I remember starting a new job, and I was placed on a crew with another guy, and just in normal leadership skills, I was thinking to myself, boy, this is going to be a long day because this guy just doesn't have tremendous leadership skills. And, you know, we got to the job site and he was laying out how to do it. And I was thinking, this is not the way to do it. And I was new on the job and I had 1,000 different reasons why we should do it differently. And I remember I made it hard on him that day. And when I went back to talk to the boss and I said, hey, why'd you put me with this guy? He doesn't know what he's doing. He said he was doing exactly what I told him to do. Did you want it done differently than that? And it really struck me that all my good intentions, all my good ideas were not submitted. It was my own ambition. And I really cost us in the way that the job went forward that day. Now it got done, but it made it way more difficult because I had my own agenda. And at the end of the day, it's not about us having our own agenda. Our own agenda, you know, God does create us with a portion, and that portion can be brought to the table, but my gifts are left at the altar. And then I use what God wants for me to use in situations when he wants me to use it. But it's really about what would please God, what would help me in my walk with God, with people, is me walking with God in sensitivity to what he wants in situations. Sometimes that's to say and do something. Sometimes it's to do nothing and to pray. And that's why we need God in the picture.
And doesn't this also kind of correlate with the principle that Paul brings out in his letter to the Philippians when he says that we should esteem each other better than ourselves? If you don't have that willingness to esteem others better than yourself, then you'll find all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't submit to other people.
Yes.
Because you're better than they are.
Yeah.
You know more than they know. You're more qualified than they are. I mean, the list could go on and on. But when you have this attitude that you have esteemed others better than yourself, and you have not a low estimate of yourself, but a proper estimate of yourself, it's humility. Humility willingly submits itself to those that it deems necessary to submit to.
Yeah, when you think about all the years that you have in the ministry, right, and you know, I've been a pastor since 1999, so we're going on, you know, 26, 27 years here. You know, I could think, like, I could listen to somebody who's a younger person or who is preaching the gospel, and I am at greater risk to not submit than somebody who is young in the faith, right? This is the one area where I would say somebody who has maturity, at least in years and in time, could really be more at risk of not being submissive than somebody who just doesn't know any better, just says, oh, this is the message, this is the speaker, this is exciting, I'm going to agree with God, I'm going to apply it to my life by faith. Whereas I might be saying, well, you know, that person doesn't have this experience. He's only been doing this long, and I have it this long. And this is something that I have to go to the cross a lot for. Not that I know anything, but I'm just saying in my flesh, it's easy to get in a place where we start evaluating others based on ourselves. And if we really want to do that correctly, then we ought to be thinking, I'm nothing. You know, I'm bankrupt at Calvary. It's the grace of God that I woke up today and could put two thoughts together. You know, I didn't have to think about my heart beating. God did that for me. I didn't have to let my lungs express air. God did that for me, right? So for me to start taking claims over where I am in life, that's a pretty bold statement when we're not even capable of keeping our bodies alive. Mm-hmm. That's up to God to do, right? So it just is an interesting proposition that it's not necessarily a surefire thing to be mature and around the faith long enough, and that you won't lack submission. Like, I think the temptation as we grow in grace and knowledge of God to stay humble in our opinion about who God is in our lives and who others are, and to esteem one another higher than ourselves. And what a liberty that is to be able to walk up to somebody and have fellowship with them, and they share something and you go, wow, that's like, I've never heard that before. Mm. It's amazing.
Yeah. This kind of biblical submission that we're talking about, it can ward off pride in our lives.
Absolutely.
If that kind of submission is present within our souls, because biblical submission, it fosters obviously a right relationship with God, but also with our spouse if we're married, and with other believers as well. And again, in that Ephesians passage in the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he uses, of course, marriage to illustrate the perfect eternal submission of the three persons of the Trinity, which he says is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Mm. I mean, that's biblical submission.
Yes.
And it's not something to be, feared. It's not something to be, suspect about. It's not something to really question a lot about. It's something that I find as a born-again believer, something that comes kind of very naturally.
Yeah. I mean, Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to be given account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be a benefit to you, right? And so the point is, and you're saying about fear, and again, Romans 13, 1 through 7, it says the whole thing about submission to leaders. Leaders who have watch over you, whose goal it is to cause you to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to give you a place where you have an expansion of your life with God, not putting you in a little, bondage box, but actually helping you to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And these are things that we don't have to live in fear about. You know, if we trust God, that God is God and every man is a liar, then we're going to trust God, and he is going to give us the joy that comes with that.
Yeah. And of course, just that those passages that you mentioned from Hebrews chapter 13, that really troubles a lot of people.
Yes,
it's like,
it does.
Oh, no, there's no way. You're asking me to submit to someone just because they have a position of authority in the church. That person, but they could control my life. They could determine everything, all of my decisions. We're not talking about that. We're talking about our submission to God. And of course, the submission to the pastor in the local assembly is the submission to the word of God that he proclaims.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Apostle Paul saying, be followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ.
Yes.
You know, obviously, if the pastor should get off track and he's off, biblically speaking, then you don't have an obligation.
No.
You shouldn't be submitting to anyone that's contradicting what the word of God has to say.
Yeah, and if you take that clause out of that statement, the Apostle Paul, just follow me. That's a risky proposition.
Oh, sure.
Right? But follow me as I follow Christ.
Yes.
That's an amazing proposition. And this is not blind submission.
No. Right?
It's not, I like the approach that the Bereans took when they, would consider what was they would pour through the scripture and consider if what they heard would be profitable to them. And they kind of eat the chicken and spit out the bones, right? Like, some of this is very valuable and very useful to us in our lives. And then if it was taught in a way that wasn't useful, okay, move along. But they knew that it was valuable to them to pour through and even in a message, right? Like, is every word that comes out of the pastor's mouth going to be infallible? we're human beings, right? We can say things in a way that is not careful, or we could, as a pastor, I could be representing God in the pulpit and misrepresent God if I had let my own desires or my own arrogance or my own pride creep into the picture. I could be wrong, right? But also, I'm going to be corrected by God, right? If I'm really in the position where I'm representing God, I better be prepared to be corrected by God. And I'm thankful that God does that in our hearts. Like, he really does. I get the sense sometimes when I'm speaking to somebody that this is not God's heart right now, and I'm grieved a little bit. God's grieved a little bit. And then I say, okay, wait a minute. I need to think this through with God. This is not God's heart for the situation. It might even be the right words, but it might be the wrong time for those words. There might not be capacity for those words. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy the fact that God wants to give us the right words at the right time for the right purpose.
That's right.
And other times, he wants us to be quiet and pray and trust and just love somebody.
And to do that, you've got to be Spirit-led.
Yes, exactly.
I love that about the noble Bereans in the book of Acts.
Yep.
Because they just were not going to receive what Paul had to say until they checked it out themselves.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
And I remember and I recall very clearly that Pastor Stevens, during so many of his messages, would say, this is not because Carl Stevens is saying it. This is because the Bible teaches
this. Don't take my word for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Get in the book and study it for yourself.
Yeah. And that's what, those exact words are the words of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Thessalonians in his first letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 13. He says, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it really is. The word of God, which is at work in you that believe. Mm. That says it right there.
Absolutely.
If it's the message of the word of God, receive it, submit to it. It's not going to harm you. It's only intended to bless you and to build your faith and to build your strength.
And we have something in us that we stir up, and that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? We stir that up in ourselves. And so when a message is preached, and we can hear that message, we feel that message. There's no dissonance because the Holy Spirit in me is giving light. It's giving witness to the fact that this has got my mind for you. And sometimes that can even be a hard statement. Sometimes that's a statement where, God is saying, don't do that. And we go, what do you mean don't do that? That sounds like a very difficult statement. Don't do that. Don't I have free will? You do have free will, but if you do that, you're going to be hurt, or you're going to cause trouble, or you're going to be disruptive. So God says, don't do that. Follow me. Do what I want you to do. And as a result, we have peace in our lives that comes from the Holy Spirit, And so the whole picture of submission being this dirty word that prevents me from expressing who I really am is actually quite the opposite. Because sometimes who I am is contrary to who God is. And what I'm left with is difficulty and trouble. And in my soul, I'm disquieted versus submitting myself to God, putting it all on the altar and saying, I'm seeking you first. And then he says, good, because now I want to add all these things unto you.
Mm. This is especially challenging when believers may be suffering for the gospel's sake.
Yeah.
They could ask questions like, God, why is this happening? All I'm trying to do is walk with you by faith and please you. And I'm suffering as a result. I'm being hated because of it.
Yes.
I'm being persecuted as a result of it. I think that's why Peter in his epistle in the fourth chapter of his first letter, he said, brothers, don't be surprised when the fiery trial comes upon you to test you as though some strange thing were happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
But rejoice. In as much as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And then he concludes that portion in 1 Peter chapter 4, and he says, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator.
Yeah.
And that's submission, isn't it? That's the essence of submission.
Yes.
I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't understand why all this trouble is being directed at me. I don't understand why the persecution or the hatred exists, but I'm going to submit myself to a faithful Creator.
Yes.
And then we watch what God does through that suffering, through those difficulties, through those tests and trials, even giving us an air-conditioned spirit as we go through the fiery trials of life.
That's right. That's right. And I would say, again, to reiterate, you know, as we kind of summarize what submission is, it's primarily to God, right? Yes, it involves people that God has put in our lives, our wives, our husbands, our leaders in the church, or even people at our job. There has to be some voluntary submission. But in doing so, I'm honoring the tenets of Christ. I'm honoring his mandate to trust, you know, those people that he's put over us. So I'm honoring him. The submission is a voluntary act. It's not something that is, you know, that we're
coerced into.
Yeah, we're coerced into. It's a voluntary act. And it also, again, does not imply inequity. Like this is, or inequality. Both men and women are created in God's image. We both have value. We both have worth, as we said. And while many interpretations of that whole gender thing have different functions, they maintain that men and women are equal in value and standing before God. Like there's no separation. Oh, you're on the guy's side. Oh, I hold you very highly. Oh, you're on the woman's side. Okay, well, you're kind of an add-on. That's not the way God sees it at all. And he's used women in scripture in ways that he could never use men, right?
That's right.
And so that's, you know, submission is something that is voluntary to God and it's according to the mandates of God. What it's not is blind obedience. It's not used as a manipulative power structure, you know, and this is where, let's face it, we are accountable as leaders. And when we start using this principle of submission in a way that is not God's heart and God's mind, but it's manipulative and it serves our own purpose, we enter into real trouble. But I also think God's faithful to oppose that kind of trouble. And people should get out of an imbalance power structure or out of somebody who's trying to manipulate their lives and put themselves in a place where they can be moved by God in his order and in his spirit.
And of course, our great example is Christ himself.
Yes.
And Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, you know, if you have that same mind, and you should, have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, who was in the form of God. He, although he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, submission.
Yes.
By taking the form of a servant, submission. Be born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, submission. He humbled himself, became obedient, submission, to the point of the cross, even death on a cross. And then look at the results. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Wow. That summarizes it all.
That right says it all.
There, doesn't it? It's amazing. And you know, we fail in these areas. You know, submission is something that God designs to be a great blessing, and man can use it as a tool for hiding something. You know, like I was thinking about the cover up that a person in their own life uses. You submit to me, you're under my authority, when really they're trying to cover up some sin or some abusive thing. And let's make no mistake about it, that is not a proper use of what submission is, right? Mm-hmm. Be sure that your sin will find you out. And if we use submission with the wrong motive, then God will be faithful to reveal that.
And, that's right.
And sometimes it's just, it's time and it's God's moment to be able to reveal it, and by the grace of God, we get right, and we get it right this in the future. But if we walk into it without the attitude of what you just said, then you know we just have a focus on something that's going to benefit me, and at the end of the day, I miss the whole blessing of submission to God that you just explained.
Yeah, amen. Boy, you know, a prayer that we could we could close the broadcast with today would be the same prayer that Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when faced with this great onslaught of demonic opposition and demonic pressure. His prayer was, Lord, if it be possible, you know, take this cup from me.
Yeah.
Nevertheless,
yes,
not my will, but thy will be done.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's our prayer in life, and that prayer is directed toward God, and we're talking about our personal relationship with mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. I have a will, but I think many of us have learned that, you know what, God's will is so far better and greater than my will.
Wow.
If I relinquish my right to make all of the decisions regarding my life and yield myself to God and submit to God, he will always choose far better for me than I could choose for myself.
Amen.
Yeah.
Drop the mic.
Drop the mic.
Once again, yeah. Drop the mic at the end of the broadcast. God's ways are so much better than our ways. And who are we to even know it, right? Yeah. Who are we to even know it? It's the grace of God that we can see his work in our lives and that we can experience the truths that he has for us. And we can't receive any of the benefits that God has for us unless we voluntarily submit ourselves to him. But when we do, there's a fantastic blessing that's
Amen
above and beyond.
That.
Yep.
Amen to that. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us, friends. We hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. I know I have. It's just great to talk about these great truths regarding biblical submission. We're going to be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We hope that you'll join us then. Until tomorrow at the same time, may God bless you.